Retterbridge, Yorkshire.
Retterbridge, you're disembarked. Gold stream of Newcastle in 5 minutes.
Put the boys and the boxes into the cart.
Is it much further to do the boys' haul, sir?
Boys and boxes.
The journey has passed. 200 miles. The Yorkshire schoolmaster, Wackford Squeers, Nicholas Nickleby, and...
Boy, just do it!
I say, is it...
It's 3 miles from here, and you and I will take the chaise. The boys go in the cart.
It is cold, sir. Will they not...
It's in, Nickleby. Oi!
Mr. Squeers flicks his whip at the pony, and they set off, leaving the cartload of infant misery to follow behind.
You cold, Nickleby?
Rather, sir, yes.
Well, I don't find fault with that. It's a long journey in this weather.
And the hall is...
The hall? Well, you needn't call it a hall down here.
Why is that, sir?
Well, the fact is, it ain't a hall. You call it a hall up in London because it sounds better, but in these parts, well, I believe a man can call his house anything he likes. No act of Parliament against that, is there?
Well, I believe not, sir, no.
And hall it is not. For when they arrive, Nicholas observes only a long, cold-looking house, one story high, and a few straggling outbuildings behind a forbidding fence. After a few moments, a gate in the fence is unlocked by a tall, lean boy with a lantern.
That you, Smike?
Yes, sir.
Why the devil didn't you come earlier?
Please, sir.
Well, boy.
I fell asleep in front of the fire.
Fire? Where's there a fire?
Only in the kitchen, sir. The mistress said since I was sitting up, I might go in there for a warm.
Then she's a fool. Why? You'd have kept awake in the cold. Now don't dawdle. See to the pony. Nickleby, go round to the front door. I'll let you through in a moment.
As he waits, the misgivings that have been crowding upon him throughout the long journey throng into his mind. Looking at the dark, snow-swept countryside, he feels a depression deeper, far deeper than anything he has ever experienced before.
Welcome, Nickleby, to Do the Boys' Hall. Come in. Hurry! Now the wind blows at this door fit to knock a man off his legs.
How is my Squeery?
Quite well, my love.
No sooner are they inside...
How are the cows?
...when a large, raw-boned lady, half a head taller than Mr. Squeers...
All right, every one of them.
...wearing a dimity night jacket...
And the pigs?
As well as they were when you went away.
Her hair in curlers under a dirty nightcap...
That's a blessing, isn't it? Young Wackford.
...held in place with a yellow handkerchief tied under the chin.
Your son, my love, is everything you could wish... Glowing with health, the dear.
And the pupils, as they were, I suppose.
Oh, they're well enough.
Embraces her lord and master.
And this, my love?
That is the new young man. He'll take a meal with us tonight and go amongst the boys tomorrow.
They must manage somehow, I expect.
Dinner is laid and taken, served by the same youth who admitted them earlier, the boy Smike, who, when Mr. Squeers removes some letters from his pocket, looks at them with an anxious expression.
What are you gawking at, boy? Serve the ale at once.
That betrays a sickly hope that one amongst them might relate to him. It is a look that tells of a long and sad history, and goes at once to Nicholas's heart.
What are you bothering about, Smike? Let the things alone, can't you?
Although 18 or 19 years old, his tattered clothes are still those of a child. Jacket absurdly short in the arms, trousers in the legs. And yet so thin is he, that he hardly fills them out in the body at all.
Has anything been heard, sir? Heard about me?
Not a word. Has been heard, nor ever will be.
An unpleasant sort of thing, ain't it, Smike? Left here all those years ago and no money paid after the first six. No, nor not a clue to be got who you belong to. Oh, yes, it's a pretty sort of thing that I should have to feed a great fellow like you and never get one penny for it.
He's turning simple.
Well, not my love. He's useful enough about the place. So, he only needs brains for that, does he now? Nickleby, how do you do?
Well enough, Mr. Squares.
Some pie, Mr. Knuckleboy.
Only a little. I'm not really hungry.
Well, it's a pity to cut it if you're not really hungry. Beef?
Whatever, Mrs. Squares. It's all the same to me.
A slice, then. A small slice.
If I say it myself, my love, an uncommon juicy joint, this.
It's prime meat, Squeary. Mm. I bought a good large piece of it myself on purpose.
Not for the boys!
No, not for them. For you. Lord, you didn't think I could make such a mistake as that.
Supper being finished, a bed is made up for Nicholas, and with a...
Good night, Nickleby. 7 in the morning, mind.
I shall be ready, sir.
Nicholas is left to his first night's rest at Dotheboys. A ride of 200 miles in severe weather is one of the best softeners of a hard bed that I know. It is even a sweetener of dreams. Nicholas sleeps deeply and dreams happily of making his fortune.
Past 7, Nickleby!
Oh, is it morning already?
No, I'm ready. Too. The pump's froze solid.
But I must wash.
Give yourself a dry polish till we break the ice.
Nicholas huddles into his clothes, and Mr. Squeers opens the curtains. Hardly moments pass before...
I am looking for the school spoon, and I cannot find
it. Never mind the spoon.
But I do. It's brimstone and treacle morning. The boys cannot have their brimstone and treacle without a spoon.
We purify the boys' blood every now and then.
Purify? Fiddlesticks. They have brimstone and treacle because if they didn't have something, they'd always be ailing.
Why, she does things for them boys that I don't believe half the mothers going would do for their sons.
I should think they would not, sir.
Well, now to work, eh? To the schoolroom, to our shop, Nickleby, where we do the business.
The schoolroom. Ah, the schoolroom. Pretty bare, pretty dirty. A couple of windows stopped up with paper, mostly. The walls discoloured, the roof like a barn. A couple of old rickety desks, the master's desk. But this is just the room. It is the boys, the young gentlemen, the noblemen even, that Nicholas has dreamed of teaching.
Boys, I've been to London and returned to my family and find you all as strong and well as ever.
That shocked him so deeply. No mirth, no noise, no clamour, no play, no hope.
Are you glad to see me back, boys, eh? Let's hear how glad you are, boys!
The last faint traces of hope fade from the mind of Nicholas.
Hooray!
As he looks at children whose whole life, it seems to him, must have been one long endurance of cruelty and neglect.
Hooray!
Such cheers!
I have seen the parents of some boys. And they're so glad to hear how their sons are going, but there's no prospect at all of their going away. Most pleasing to all of us, I'm sure. Eh? There have been some disappointments. Boulder's father was £2.10 short. Where are you, boy? Oh, over here, eh? Hiding under the bench again. Come here, Boulder!
Yes, sir. What's this? Hold out your hands. They are dirty. Your hands are dirty. No excuses for filth, boy. Hold them still. Dirty hands. Our disobedient hands. Obviously, your last thrashing. Taught you nothing at all. Report to me for another one after school. Blanket. Where is Blanket?
Please, sir. He's cleaning out parlour windows.
Did I ask you, Smike?
We go up on practical mode of teaching here, Nickleby. C-L-E-N-N-K.
clean, verb active, to make bright, to scour. W-I-N, wind, D-E-R, duh, wind, duh, casement. When the boy knows this out of the book, he goes and does it. It's our system, Nickleby. What do you think of it?
It's a very useful one, at any rate.
Hmm. Cobby, there's a letter for you. No, 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 you may not read it. I will deliver you the salient points. Your grandmother's dead. Your Uncle John is drinking. Your mother took to her bed because you won't eat your fat. Your father sends aprons that will just cover the window you broke. And don't tell me it was you. Grey Marsh is armed. Sends her most respectful compliments to myself and Mrs. Squeers. Grey Marsh, where is he? Smoke!
The weeding garden, sir.
So he is. Botany. B-O-T. Bot-T-I-N. Tin. N-E-Y. Knee. Bot-T-N-E. Noun.
Nicholas knows that the fate of his mother and sister Kate depends upon the benevolence of their uncle Ralph. He fears that if he goes now, this moment, he will rouse Ralph's anger. And yet, the day passes dreadfully. The evening draws on. Nicholas finds himself alone in the schoolroom, except for...
Don't be frightened. Are you cold?
No.
You're shivering.
I'm used to it.
Poor fellow.
If he had struck Smike, the wretch would have slunk away. But one word of kindness.
Hush, hush. Be a man. You are nearly won by years, God help you.
Years. Years. So many of them. So many children here. And where are they now?
Listen, Smike. There's always hope.
No. None for me. Do you remember the one who died?
I wasn't here then, you know, but what of it?
I was with him that night. It was all silent and he stopped crying for his friends to come and sit with him. And he saw them, all of them, from home, all his friends sitting round the bed. And they smiled at him and they talked to him and... He died lifting his head to kiss them, do you hear?
Yes. Yes, I hear.
They will smile at me. They will talk to me those long nights. They cannot come from home. They would frighten me if they did, for I don't even know them. I don't know home. No one, you see. No one and no home. No one and no hope.
Thank you.